You know, we are so thankful for the freedoms we have. And today we remember those, as has already been mentioned, who have suffered and many have died and given their lives so we could have freedom today. And, of course, we think of the freedom we have through knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. I want to talk to you today a little bit about the fact that we, of course, remember our loved ones. And in memoriam is something that we need to have in our lives as we think of our loved ones, maybe that have passed away, and Memorial Day is for that also. Some of you perhaps have already gone to the graveyards, or you might go tomorrow, maybe this afternoon. But I want to preach a message in defense of tears, in defense of grief. And I want you to look at Acts chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. In memoriam, in defense of remembering our loved ones, grief, maybe some tears. In Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 1, a story you're all probably very familiar with. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, a local church. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men, notice this, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. You remember in chapter 7, they stoned Stephen to death. Stephen was a deacon. They had to choose a certain number of men to help out in the early church. There was some differences between some of those that were of the Jews and some that were the Greeks. And they had to determine where the help was going to go. And so they selected these deacons, and one of those was Stephen. And Stephen was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. He loved God, and he was serving God, and he was already preaching and telling others about Christ, and they stoned him to death. As he was being stoned, you remember some of the things that happened to him. And he finally knelt down and asked God not to hold this to their charge, not to charge them with it, that he wanted God to forgive them. In essence, they really didn't realize what they were doing. Now, there were different reactions to the death of Stephen. Stephen, this great man of God, went on to be in the presence of the Lord right away. He went home to be with the Lord. But there was a difference in the reactions. And the biggest word that differentiated in the way that people looked at it would be the word love. There were some who did not love Stephen at all. They didn't like what he was preaching. They didn't like the message he was preaching. They didn't like the Lord Jesus Christ. And they didn't like him. And they were not crying. They were not weeping. They were exulting. They were glad. They were thrilled at their triumph that they had over somebody that they thought was a problem to them. It was sort of like fresh blood to a hound dog for those critics and the enemies of the church in that day, because it gave them impetus to really persecute the church, including the Apostle Paul, as we would know him later, or Saul here. Look in Acts chapter 8 and verse 3. Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Look at chapter 9 and verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. Saul hated at that time Christians. He hated Stephen. He had no use for him. And when Stephen was pelted to death with those stones, he was glad. And the enemies of the cross were glad as to what happened. But to the disciples, it wasn't that way. To the disciples, they were brokenhearted. There was sorrow, as we see in that verse, there was great sorrow on their part. You know why they had inexpressible sorrow, the lamentations they had? Because they loved Stephen. They loved him. And when they killed him, when they saw him killed, they were sorrowful. And as they carried him to his burial, there was great lamentation. That is weeping and crying, lamentation over him. It's two Greek words. Mega is one. And another Greek word is the Greek word keptos. And what it means is, of course, we're familiar with the word mega because we talk about mega church and many other descriptions we use, mega bucks, mega this. We mean great bucks and great big churches and all of that. And this was lamentation, or great lamentation, mega lamentation. And it's talking about the fact that they were weeping, they were crying. And literally the word means that they were smiting themselves on the chest and crying and weeping because of Stephen's death. They loved him so much that they were crying. They were upset over his death. Those who mean sometimes so little to others mean so much to us, right? They mean so much to us, other people may not know. It's like somebody might give a report and say, well, they had a battle over there, and it was a great battle, and we did so well, the United States, and we won, and only one soldier was killed. Only one soldier was killed. And we brag and say, only one soldier was killed. Only one soldier was killed. But what if that soldier was your son? It wouldn't just be another battle won. It would be a soldier that gave his life. One of the hardest things I ever did in my life, I was still a youth director, Brother Gillett, at that time. And Brother Gene Arnold was either out of town or ill, I can't remember. But I got a call from, as I recall, it's been a long time ago, but some military personnel, I think it was the chaplain. And he said, I cannot get there, but I want you to go see Miss So-and-so. Her son has been killed in Vietnam. And we need somebody to go tell her that her son was killed. I said, I'll go. So I got in the car, drove to the home, and this was a widow lady, a lady that was by herself. I went to the door, and she greeted me and had a great big smile, and I tried to muster up a smile. And then we began the conversation, and I said, I have something I hate to have to tell you. I really hate to tell you, but I must tell you, I've been asked by the military to come tell you that your son was killed whenever it was, yesterday or the day before, in Vietnam. Let me tell you, that's hard to do. And that was hard to tell this lady that her son had been killed in Vietnam. And obviously she broke down and wept and cried. Even though she was a Christian, even though she was born again, there were tears. I remember the morning my brother got killed around 1 o'clock in the morning in a car wreck. And I was in bed. My brother and I were sleeping together in the bedroom. And then mother and daddy and my sister and other parts of the house, and the phone rang. Back then, you only had one phone, and that was usually in a convenient place where everybody could run and get to it. And it was unusual that around 6 or 7 in the morning on Sunday that somebody would call. And all of a sudden, it seemed as if the Lord told me that my brother had gotten killed. And I said to my other brother, I said, Billy's killed. Billy's dead. He said, why are you saying that? Don't say that. About that time, mother screamed and hollered and dropped the phone. I heard it hit the floor. And she had just been told that my brother and her son, one of five children, had been killed in a car accident that morning. Let me tell you, there were tears. And my daddy wailed. He didn't just cry, he wailed. I'll never forget how he wailed. That was a very, very difficult time for us during that time. And they cried and they wept the loss of my brother. Mary Magdalene was outside of the tomb of Jesus. And she started weeping. She was crying, and because she knew he'd been crucified, and she was weeping and crying over his death. And she said, finally, not realizing she was talking to Jesus, "Wherever you've taken him, I'd like to know." And she was weeping. He said, "Why are you weeping?" And began to give her the good report. I just want you to see that there are tears. Now let me ask you a question. Is it Christian to cry and grieve? Some people think that tears show that you're weak emotionally. And we are supposed to be very stoic and march in the military, march and not have any tears and never cry. I've met very few people in my life. I've met a few that could not cry. They could not cry because of their tear ducts. But is it wrong for a Christian to grieve? I want to tell you that I believe tears have a place. And I believe that those who were burying Stephen, they were great lamentation. They were weeping. They were crying. And they were hitting themselves on the chest and saying, "Oh, how horrible. What a terrible thing. We've lost Stephen, this great deacon, this great man of God. And look how he had to die." Have you ever thought about the tears of Jesus? Did you know Jesus cried? Jesus wept. There was a time when Lazarus died. John 11 records a story. We won't turn there, but you're familiar with it, most of you. Lazarus died, and Jesus waited instead of going there because he wanted to do the greater miracle. He didn't want to heal him. He wanted to raise him from the dead to show who he was. And so he waited, and we're reminded God's always on time. Amen? We may not understand it, but he's always on time. And Martha was so encumbered about the thing, and even Mary was. And she said, "Lord, if you'd have been here, if you'd have just been here, he wouldn't have died." And they were weeping and they were crying. And the Lord didn't say to them, "Dry up those tears. Don't you understand he's going to be raised from the dead?" And Martha already had talked to Jesus about that, said, "I know he's going to be raised from the dead," and all of that. But Jesus, the Bible says, right at that time as he saw them weeping, he thought about Lazarus who had died. The Bible says what? Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Jesus himself. And so if Jesus wept, I guess there's a place for us to weep. There was a time, Luke records it in the 13th chapter, where Jesus came and he looked from the Mount of Olives over Jerusalem. And as he looked at the city of Jerusalem, he knew what was going to happen to them. He knew they were going to refuse him, reject him. And so the Bible says as Jesus looked over, this was right after his triumphal entry, and they laid out all of those palm branches before him. And then the Lord Jesus looked over Jerusalem. And the Bible says as he looked over them, he knew that they were rejecting him. He was going to die. And the Bible says Jesus wept over the city from the Mount of Olives. The Lord Jesus Christ cried. And Hebrews tells us, chapter 5, that when he was in Gethsemane, and there are other places, but when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Hebrews tells us that Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. He knew that he was going to have to drink the bitter cup of my sin and your sin, and for the first time in all of his eternal existence in the humanity as the God-man be separated from his Father for the first time for a little while with all of the guilt and weight of our sins, every sin that we've ever committed on him. And the Bible indicates that Jesus wept profusely in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus wept. The tears of Jesus. We know that Paul wept. There was a time Paul said, he was talking about, and this is part of his characteristic. Paul said, "Don't you remember that I was with you 3 years and night and day ministered to you?" And he says it like this, with tears. Paul was a weeping man. Paul cried. Paul had tears. Acts 20, verses 19 and 31 record that. And then the latter part of that chapter, Paul was getting ready to leave those dear people. And he loved them, and they loved him, and he had ministered to them. They loved him very much. And the Bible says when he went out there, and they were on the banks, and he knelt down, and they leaned their head on his shoulder, and they wept and cried, and he wept and cried, because he was going to have to leave them. And he knew then it would be the last time down here that he would see them. And so Paul cried, and they cried. They wept because this great man of God was going to leave them. I remember many times we used to at Christmas always let our kids open their gifts and then drag them away from them real fast. They always loved that. They told us later on, we wish we could have stayed home and played with our big gifts, but we had to get them ready and drive 1,000 miles to Grandma and Grandpa's and Granny and Papa's. And so we would go there and stay a little while, but always we'd drive down the lane getting ready to go home, children in the back, Carol and I in the front, and I'd turn and get on the highway, the asphalt, about a, I don't know, 2 or 3 tenths of a mile from where the house was, and they could still see us. They would be on the porch waving, and I'd blow my horn, and take off, and we would cry for a number of miles because we were going to be separated for a while. Well, tears are all right. God never makes fun of our tears. There were tears of Simon Peter. Sometimes we need some tears because of our failures, don't we? We need to weep over our sin and weep over our failures. Peter heard the rooster crow and he had denied Christ 3 times. And the Bible says Peter wept. He cried. Some of us today need to be weeping because we know that we're not right with God. We know as believers we have things in our lives, things that we're up to that shouldn't be there. And we need to have a broken heart before God and weep before the Lord. Then there were the tears of John in the book of Revelation in the Apocalypse. John wept. There was a time when around the throne they were looking for somebody to open the book, the seals, and they could find nobody. Nobody can come open these seals. And they were weeping until the Lamb of God prevailed and said, I'll open those seals. Thank God for that. But tears. Is it wrong for a Christian to weep and to have tears? You see, tears usually in the Bible are a grief. We find instances where it's there because of brokenness and grief. Think of Adam and Eve. And they came and said, when they discovered, realized that one of their 2 boys had been killed by the other boy. How do you think Eve felt that day? I have an idea. She cried. As the mother of those first 2 living children, I would imagine that Eve cried because of what had happened and because of the loss of her son. I think she probably cried. I know that David cried for a son. 2 Samuel 18. Absalom was his son. And Absalom was very charismatic. And he won the hearts of the people. He was in rebellion against God and King David, his father. But as he went out and he was fighting, his hair, which was long hair, got caught in the trees, and then they killed him. And they came to David and thought maybe David would be glad that his son, who had hurt him so much and was giving him such a hard time, would be killed. But he wasn't. The Bible says he wept. He cried. He wept over Absalom. Absalom, Absalom. My son Absalom. I would to God I could have died for you. He was weeping over his son. Tears, real tears, because of that. We have an account of a woman weeping for a husband in the book of Ruth, chapter 1. It's recorded there where Naomi was weeping because of her husband. The word Naomi means pleasant. That's a good name. And so she had lost her husband and lost her 2 children. And she had come back to Israel. And they were talking to her. And she said, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. Bitterness. Because of the tears that are in my heart. The brokenness that is in my heart because of what has happened. Don't call me Naomi anymore. There were tears for a wife in Genesis 35. We don't have time to go into all of these, but Rachel, Jacob and Rachel. And Rachel was having a child, and she travailed in birth, and the child lived, and she died. She died. And Jacob wept for her He said she wanted to name the child one name, and he said, no, we're going to name him Benjamin. And he put up a pillar there at his grave in memoriam to his death to remember Benjamin. Always remember Rachel, always remember the occasion and the price that she paid to bring Benjamin into the world. Then there were tears for a nation. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. He wept. How many of us are weeping over America? How many of us are having a prayer time where we're getting on our knees or however we pray and calling on God and weeping and saying, oh God, we love our country. We love what this flag stands for. We want America to come back to God. We need to do some weeping over America. We need to do some praying for revival. And God wants to do it, I believe, and He can do it. Is anything too hard for God? No. God can give revival in this country. If we get a heart like Jeremiah, the whole book of Lamentations, that's self-explanatory. There was lamenting, lamentations. Jeremiah crying. Eyes, he said, were as a fountain of tears. How long has it been since we cried over our country and our lost loved ones and people and our sins because of that? We have tears, but we also have our memory. Thank God we call this Memorial Day, our tribute in memory. Our tribute in memory. I have an idea as I've been preaching, some of you have been thinking of somebody that you love, somebody that you've lost. Mama, daddy, husband, wife, child. Somebody that you love so dearly. And I want to tell you, it's all right to cry. Nothing in the Bible says it's wrong to remember. Nothing in the Bible says it's wrong to cry. Now, here are some instructions concerning it. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And he is talking here about those that had given up a loved one. And he said, I don't want you to weep. I don't want you to cry as those that have no hope. You see, there's the difference. And he said, it's all right to cry, but I don't want you to cry, my brethren, as those that have no hope. Because there is hope, thank God. There is hope. Tears are okay. But remember in your tears that it's acceptable to cry, but remember that that's not the end. And the Bible says in the latter part of that chapter that the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. We'll all join them up together, the rapture of the church and the raising of the dead from the graveyards. And we'll go up, all the believers, we'll go up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he said, wherefore, that's true, comfort ye one another with these words. We lose loved ones. We remember them. I've lost two brothers and a sister, my mother and daddy, and many of you have lost people. But you know what? I'm glad I can tell you they were all Christians. And I'm thankful that I know that I will see my mother and daddy and my two brothers and my sister someday in heaven. We have the promise of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 15. I love that 15th chapter, but a portion, verse 52. The trumpet shall sound. What a day that's going to be. The trumpet shall sound, and we shall be raised. We'll be raised from the dead. Hallelujah to the Lord. And we will be raised to be incorruptible. No more death, no more dying, no more heartaches, no more sickness, no more pain. Revelation 21, it'll be all over. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that we have the blessed and precious truth and the hope that even though we have tears and tears are okay, and don't ever make fun of anybody when they're crying. Sometimes people get up and give their testimony and they'll say, well, I'm sorry I cried. No. If God leads them to cry, let them cry. I hate to cry when I'm preaching. But if God allows it, so be it. And I don't think it's a weakness. I think it's just something God does at the moment. But tears are nothing to be ashamed of. Tennyson's poem, In Memoriam, was one of his, probably the best poem, the most favorite poem of all people that he ever wrote. And that was a poem about death. and a poem about memories. And it became the most popular one, probably because that's what it was about. We don't want to destroy the memories of our loved ones or those who have died for our country, do we? I don't want to destroy the memory of my loved one. Thank God for the memory. I say oftentimes in a funeral message that memory is like gold nuggets, and those memories we have, and we spend them every once in a while and just say, oh God, I remember that. That was a good day. Thank you for that time. Thank you for those blessings. And then if it makes us cry, go ahead and cry a little while. But as you cry, remember, you're going to see them again. We have halls of memory. We have places that we put up pictures of people that have been great leaders and that type thing. We want to memorialize them. But memory is okay. God gives us memory, and I'm glad that He does. The last thing that we talk about is a great memorial. And what is that? The Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, a memorable time. And Jesus said that the church is to participate in the Lord's Supper and baptism. And He gives the local church the Lord's Supper. And why do we have the Lord's Supper? Why do we do it? Is it to wash away our sins? No. Is it just to have something to do so we look religious? So we can be religious and we feel religious? We're doing this? No, He said, inasmuch as you eat this, eat it in remembrance of Me. And inasmuch as you drink this, drink it in remembrance of Me. Remember My broken body. Remember My shed blood. Always remember that that's what it took for you and I to be saved. And friend, let me tell you today, that's the only way you'll get to heaven, is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. His broken body and His shed blood. Thank God we have the Lord's Supper. And He says, not only are we to remember what happened back there, but He says, remember what's going to happen. Keep doing this until I come. It's a reminder that He's coming again. What a memory to think about the death of Jesus Christ, His shed blood. Should we ever forget it? Absolutely not. Does it move you? Does it still move you at all to think about Jesus on that cross and His broken body and His shed blood? Quite frankly, it ought to move us to tears when we remember what Jesus did for us. And I've got good news for you today, dear friend. You can be saved by the grace of God through the shed blood and the broken body of Jesus Christ. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. And that's exactly why Jesus was giving His blood on the cross and dying, to pay for our sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we through Him might be made the righteousness of God. It's a gift. You don't earn it. You don't keep earning it. You don't keep it by your good works. You don't earn it by your good works. It is a gift of God. God wants to give it to you today. Some of you here are not saved. You don't know if you died you'd go to heaven. You've never made peace with God through Jesus. You may have had religion. You may have had this, that, and the other. You may be trying to turn over a new leaf and do better things, whatever it may be. But let me tell you, you have to be born again. What is that? That's believing that Jesus died and paid your sin debt and doing what God said. Jesus said to those that wanted to know the answer of how to be saved, He said, you must be born again. You've got to be born again. What is that? It's a time and place in your life where you understand Christ paid it all for you. And He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you willing to believe it and ask Him? Are you willing to commit your life to Jesus? Those of us who are saved, we go back to the cross and say, oh God, 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 thank You for giving Your Son to die for us. Thank You that we're saved and on our way to heaven. But we sure would like for you to join the crowd. That you today would come and say, I want to have that Memorial Day too. The day when I can remember and I can think the day I got saved. I remember the night I got saved. Do you? You remember the time you got saved? Isn't that a great memory to remember the time you got saved? And a It all had to do with the cross of Christ. And I remember what he did for me, and I'm glad I'm saved today. What a memory. It's all right to weep, folks. We have the right to weep when we lose a loved one, when our hearts are broken. We have a right to remember our dear loved ones who have gone on before us. But we also need to remember, thank God we'll see them again. Amen? What if Christ came today? We'd see him today. Wouldn't it be great? And he could come today. Are you ready? Let's stand, please. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for what the Bible teaches us about ourselves, about our emotions, about the fact that Jesus wept, and we have the right to weep and sometimes be a little sad and tears to run down our cheeks. But, oh God, we're thankful we're not as those who have no hope. You said that we're to weep not as those who have no hope. And so we thank you for the blessed hope, the true hope, the sure hope that we have in Jesus. And I pray today that we'd be thankful enough to remember what you did on the cross and that our lives would be yielded to thee. And our hearts would be broken afresh and anew because of what you did for us as we look back and remember the cross work of Jesus. Help the unsaved to be saved today, Lord. This is your invitation. And I pray you would do what you want to do with it. Whatever results we have, we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's...